Yehoshua Jacobson.
Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to speak about a subject which touches on halacha. As always, I give my introductory comments that what I'm going to say is not intended to be halacha l'maisa, but also, so not to be irresponsible, I have discussed most of these in Yonim with Dayanim and Choshen Mishpat, and hopefully I won't confuse anyone. If I manage that, that's already a step in the right direction. So the subject today is a shul raffle. I apologize to anyone who already heard part of the shiur in Shari Mordechai a few weeks ago, but this is the full shiur there. I just touched on one or two points. But anyway, my apologies to anyone who's heard segments of the shiur. Any event, shul raffles, that's the subject. So now, seemingly, people would say, well, what could be wrong with a shul raffle? And I didn't see any poskim who say in any of the tshuvas that there's any problem be'etzim with a shul raffle. No one should come away from the shul. I'm going to raise problems and difficulties that come up. But lamaisa, there's nobody who actually says don't make a shul raffle. So you'd say, well, what could be wrong with the whole idea of a girl? With a raffle is essentially a girl, or picking a name out of a hat as a girl. Obviously, it's okay. People say, well, what's the problem? I can give a shiur about this. So just before we get into some particular shul raffle shaitas, I'll just say that it's not so obvious. There are two cases where it seems clearly usur to have to use a girl. Number one is Tosfos and Shabbos on Kufnun Vavamid Beis. He says, when it comes to a certain type of girl, you're definitely not allowed to use it. And it's brought lahalacha in Yerideya. This is a quote from Yerideya. Ein shoylin b'chizm k'chavim. You shouldn't ask people who are stargazers v'loy b'garolis. And you also shouldn't ask your questions to lots. It says, the pasuk says, mishum sh'ne'amar tamim tiyeh. You should be perfect in your faith with Hashem. So you shouldn't think that a girl is a solution to all of your problems. Some questions, some things you shouldn't be using a girl for. And the poskim say, so what is Shulchan Aruch talking about? So it says, to ask about the future or to ask about hidden things. That means there were stories, for example, we have to explain according to this. We're saying it's Asr, the story with Yoina. Everybody's going to shout out at me, yeah, but they were Goyim. I know the Kasha, it's a good Kasha. But they used a girl to figure out who was responsible for the ship being ripped apart at sea. That was to find a hidden matter. That's who is the one who's to blame. That would typically be forbidden. There are certain reasons given there why it was okay. And Ochon, when they're trying to figure out who had stolen the booty, so they used, again, a girl to figure out who it was. And these would be examples where we would typically not be allowed to use a girl. But a shul raffle is not working like that, obviously. We're not trying to figure out who is the hidden winner. LMI, we're trying to decide right now who is the winner. There's no hidden winner. We're picking to see who will be the winner. Mitzvah Hashem, I hope to have a follow-up here to do with when will we be allowed to use things called nichush, which is using signs, using gorillas to figure out things. There are certain cases where you can and you can't, but that's a different subject. The second place where we say you shouldn't use a girl, which I may have mentioned here once before, is in Orachaim Simon Shinchov Vav, Sif Vav. There it's speaking about a father who's trying to be a peacemaker. So he's got at the table pieces, let's say, for the beginning, sausages. And his kids are arguing, I want the big sausage, I want the little sausage. And he looks at them, they're all identical sausages. So he just wants them to stop bickering. So he says, right, Yankel, Shmerel, we're going to do a girl, and we're going to sort this out. That's one case. Another case is going to be where there is taka, a big sausage and a little sausage. And if for some reason they can't cut the sausage, everybody wants a shalem. As we know, children are a bit makbid sometimes. It has to be a shalem. And the father decides, again, the same technique. I'll split them up using a girl. So the Shulchan Aruch says these cases are highly problematic, even though we'd say it's an innocent scene at home. What could be wrong? Shulchan Aruch says, Yochal itol girl chalokim shavim. You're allowed to do this if the portions are identical. A father is allowed to do this, meaning with his own family he's allowed to do this. And he's only doing so in order to get rid of the kina bein ayam. But if it would be him, the father, and his brother at a barbecue arguing over the big and the small sausage, they never grew up. So even though they're the same size sausages, this could be usur. Why? Because people are makbid even on the smallest possible thing between them. They're trying to sort it out in this way. So what's the problem? The problem we'll see is gezel derabanan, is misachik bakubia. This is a way of gambling who's going to get the big, who's going to get the small, or in this case, even who's going to get the equal ones. If you're the father, you own it all. So there's no question of gezel. It's all yours to give out. But we'll still see there is a problem with it. This is all midrabbanan. This is not midraisa. Aval liten mona gedoyla keneged mona katana, the big piece and the little piece, that's a much bigger problem. Lato gedoleyam, that's going to be aser. Afilu b'mnei beisa, even when you own everything. See, what could be the problem? Ubechol aser, and on a weekday, this is also aser, mishum kubia, because of gambling. And the Ramah adds, and certainly not on Shabbos, also lato gu b'Shabbos, afilu al yedei in a Yehudi, because then you're getting very close to Mecca chumemkar. So I'm just pointing out, a girl is not a 24/7 solution to your problems. Here we're going to say there are two ikker problems with doing this girl on the food. The one is, we say that if it's not one owner, but rather it's being split between people, that's basically like gambling. Kubiyahu, this is the Mishnah Berurah's Lashon, kubiyahu of a gezel medivreim shein daito leknoisa v'kinyon gomor. People don't have in mind gemiras das, that they really want to lose the big sausage. Everybody wants the big sausage. And they only agreed on the assumption that they would get it. Turns out they lost. So there's a bit of a reach there of gezel medirabbanin, and you shouldn't do this. And then, even when you own everything, the Mishnah Berurah says, there's no gezel. If you teach your kids that this is how we solve problems by doing splitting and so forth, what will happen? The next time they're at school and the two boys are arguing over something and they decide to do the same thing where they don't own the whole lot, it's two people, so it's a case of sruchi bakubia. You're teaching your children to solve things by gambling. So again, these are durabonan issues. But nevertheless, we're trying our best to avoid them. So the question is, if that's a problem with splitting up food, what's it in a lottery, in a shul raffle, where you're splitting things up? Why is that so much better? So I'm going to tell you five reasons why it's better, and we'll see that a shul raffle doesn't have these issues. But it's just worth pointing out, again, that there's not everything is just smooth sailing. Number one, they say when you do a shul raffle, the odds are very weak. That means you don't really expect to win. You might say, oh, I hope I win. What will I do with the money? And all that, you fantasize in your mind what you'll do with the money. But you really don't expect to win. That means there's no asmachta. There's no, I only put the money in on condition that I would win. That's not really how you think. You'd love to win. Everybody likes a silver becher. Everybody likes a free trip to Eretz Yisrael. But the mice, you don't really think you're going to win. So somebody shouted out when I gave this shiur last time, well, when do the odds go from when you think you might win to when you don't think you're going to win anymore? And I don't know the answer. There's probably no absolute answer. I threw out an answer, maybe when you're 1 in 50. And then I thought of a funny story that happened to me, which brings out this point. I was once traveling with my children, and as we were sitting in the waiting area to go on a plane, so they made an announcement, security is very high on this flight. People will be asked to agree to give security checks. So I must tell you, I heard the information. It didn't enter my mind for a second that it had anything to do with me. So as we're getting on the gangplank to go on the plane, whatever it's called, one of the flight people calls over to my teenage child and said, you've been selected. So we all thought, wow, what have been for a body search. And he said, uh-huh, okay, well, we didn't think we were going to win that. But that was the point. Exactly, we didn't enter our mind. There was one of 300, and we didn't have a havamina that we would be the lucky one to get a free body search. But we were. So you could say every raffle, they're going to have at least 50, 100, 300 people entering it. Otherwise, it's not so much of a shul raffle. They didn't do very well by the time they paid for advertising and everything else. So people don't really expect to win, although they fantasize about winning. Number two.
Shul raffle. Does it mean the difference shul and other raffle?
Not really. Yeah. Not so much. No. Yeah, Mother's Committee, Moistus raffle. Okay. Never do what? Mr. Yes, that's a good point. Mitzvah, I'm going to speak about this. There's a difference between the 1 and 2 pound raffles and the big raffles where your intention changes. That's my next point. My next point is, what's your ikkar kavana when you give the money? So they say in the sausage example, you really want the sausage, you're planning to get the sausage. It's not about, I'm doing something altruistic, something for chesed, something kind. I want this meat. Masha'en kain, when you do a shul or a moysed raffle, your ikkar kavana, we say, is to give the money to the moysed. That's Rav Moshe's Rav Moshe's point, but when you talk about a very big raffle, well, I spoke to one of the Dayanim in Chosh and Mishpat, he said that changes. That's not so clear that your only intention is to give it to the Moshe, because as you say, who would give £18 to a school? Maybe there are plenty of people, I hope there are, but it's not typical to give just £18 to somebody who comes up and asks you for a donation to a school you've never heard of before. Number three, Mitzvah, we'll come back to your point. Number three, when it comes to a shul raffle, you've got to your advantage, unlike to the big debate at home over the barbecue, you've got something called Minhag Medina and Minhag Soichrim, which has a halachic weight to it. It means you're following a legally accepted industry practice of how to do this, whereas the other thing is just a casual get-together where you're having a bet between you who will get the big piece. Number four, when you give the money to the shul, you essentially relinquish the money as soon as you buy the ticket. It's not being held in escrow for you, waiting to say, will you get your money back and 10 other people's money back? You've given it to the shul. Now, the shul will distribute from their own funds the winning money. So in which case, it's not like the two pieces of meat. The two pieces of meat, they're sitting there in front of you on the table. One of you is going to walk away with the big, one is going to walk with the small. There's no kinyan as such that's already taken place. And a fifth reason, which I found interesting, is that if you are not face-to-face to people, which we're typically not when we make a raffle, it's less upsetting. That means I don't mind losing so much if I don't know the fellow who won. Whereas if I see you chomping away on the big piece of meat, well, I've got my misly little polka, so then it bothers me more, and I've got more of a reason that I didn't really mean to be koine the big piece of meat. But if somebody else wins who I don't know, so be it. I thought in a town where you see the fellow driving around in his new Lexus, and it does bother you a bit, I'm not so sure how the svara will apply. Now, so that we see it's pretty big chalukim, pretty clear chalukim, that a shul raffle or a moised raffle is not like the meat argument at the table. But a Rebbe in my last year called out a very interesting question. He said, it's very good, we've solved all the problems, so to speak, on the way we're doing raffles is not the same. He said, but I'm a Rebbe in a classroom, and very often I have 30 boys, and I want to give out a prize, and I do it with the heterim that you're describing. But you know what? Maybe I've got the problem of sruchi. Maybe I'm teaching them a mahalach, and this, you solve things by gambling. Right? So it's a fair question. And I said to him, I'd have to think about it. But one thing is clear. We know that around the world, the rebbes do this. Many rebbes are big talmid chachamim. And it can't be we could go into discussion just on why it's mutter, but I think it can't be that if something is a hanhag in Klal Yisrael, loads and loads of rebbes do this, it must be that there's some heter for it. Or you could say it's not sruchi, because you're not teaching the rebbe, because you're teaching the alpi halacha, this is the kind of raffle we're allowed to do. So I'm not misleading you. It's true, if you want to twist it, you could come to gamble. But this is not like gambling, this is a different type of a raffle. So now, we've hopefully set shul raffles in a different category, but I want to tell you now some of the problems. Some of the problems that do go wrong, many people, after I said the shiur the first time, they said to me, yes, that happened to us, and more complicated things that could go wrong based on the same principles. This is a maisa, a tshuva really brought in the Chavis Yoyer in Simon Samach Aleph. A very interesting case. It starts with 12 drunken men, which is the beginning of any good story, really. And there they are, they're sitting around, it says on Purim, and they're drinking, and one of them gets a clever idea that he wants to raffle off a beautiful silver cup with some gold embellishment, and everybody can put in a certain amount of money, and whoever is drawn out through a girl will be the winner of this very expensive cup. So their clouded minds all come together and say, what a great idea it is, let's do this raffle. So this is how they devise the raffle. There are 12 men, and they write the 12 men's name on slips of paper, and then there are 12 blank pieces of paper, and on one of them they write Mazel Tov. Okay? So they put 12 into one box, the other 12 into the other box, and they call a child into the room and they say, pick one from this box, pick one from this box, put them together, and let's see who the winner is. So the child puts his hand in, pulls them together, the first one is blank. We have Shmerel, blank. Next one, Beryl, Mazel Tov. Oh, they're all ecstatic, drunk and stupid, singing away, dancing. He's got the golden cup. He's probably dancing around the room, who knows what. And he's the winner. So somebody there who's sitting around, nothing better to do, wait to get sober, starts flicking through the papers just to see what's going on. He goes through the box with the blanks, and there were two Mazel Tovs. And he jumps up and he says, "My, it's fixed. It's fixed. This is rigged." Now, it's interesting, it's rigged in a way that there was no definite, there's no obvious winner. It's just that it was twice as likely to win. So they went to the Chavis Yair and they asked him, was this a valid raffle? Is the winner a winner? So he says, no. He says, not. He says, why? His reasoning is, if it's not done kahoygen, then you don't have hashkochas elyon. If it's not done in a way, according with the way it was set up to be a fair raffle, which I'll come back to, so then you don't have the hashkochas elyon. That means a girl is more, a shul raffle is more than just a random act. There's a certain amount of hashkocha who the winner should be. Okay, but the Chavis Yair was sober. The Chavis Yair was sober. The Rav was sober. The men were drunk. So the second time, they say, right, we're going to listen to the Rav. We put all the names back in. We'll try again. So again, they go through. The boy pulls out one, blank, two, blank, three, blank. Gets to six. The name, Mazel Tov. So everybody's very happy. Again, somebody a bit drunk starts flipping through all the different cards. You know, he's a bit curiosity. And he gets to the number of names and he finds there's only 11 names. Somebody's name is left out. So they don't know if this is a prank. They don't know if somebody's doing it, you know, to make people miserable. But sure enough, a name is left out and they all agree a name is left out. So the winner says, who's already done his victory dance, he says, yes, I'm the winner. And you 10 who lost, you can be quiet. Because why? The fact that number 12's name is left out increases your odds of winning. Doesn't decrease your chances. One less person. So you have no complaint. And number 12, I will give you cash to be quiet. And Mr. 12 says, I'll take it. Why should I go into the girl and a chance of 1 in 12 I should win? He's offering me cash up front. I'll take it. Everybody's happy, right? They go to the Chavis Yair and they ask again, is this a good girl? He says, no. He says, everybody agrees. Al pi svara, the matter is settled. But if you want the hashkocha to be chal on a girl, you have to do it in a kahoygendik way, a fitting way, the way that's a reasonable way. You have to do it again. So, and I'm going to tell you a chiddush now, which is actually unbelievable. He says nearly that if a crooked person, he doesn't know if he's saying this a halacha, but he says in svara this should be true. If a crooked person would throw his name in twice, and they do the girl, and he loses, he could come back afterwards and complain, the same man, that the girl wasn't fair. And he wants the girl to be retaken. How could it be? Because he's proven it's not to do with svara. It's not to do with can we sort out the chosh and mishpat. If you want the girl to work, says the Chavis Yair 300 years ago, this is one of the tshuvas that's brought by many of the contemporary poskim, he says it has to be done kohagan. If not, not. Now, I'm not saying that last chiddush that he was saying the halacha or otherwise, but we see the point. So now, what does that have to do with us? Every shul raffle of a big size will admit to you that after the fact, everyone, but a lot of them would say after the fact, certain tickets turned up that had not been returned by the sellers, which is expected. If you sell 5,000 tickets and you've got 100 people selling them, and some of them are selling them overseas, and some of them are selling them locally or in London or whatever, what are the chances of everybody getting the tickets back? And then one of the promoters of a raffle told me, he once ended up with confusion where someone told him he wanted to buy a ticket, so the promoter put his name in. Then the fellow went to MH, bumped into another seller, and he said, oh yeah, I told them I would buy a ticket. Can I buy the ticket now? Not realizing his name was already in. So the seller outside of MH also put his name in, so his name ended up in twice. So even things where people are trying to be helpful and honest and all the rest, you can end up with a raffle which is Shaloi Kahoygan. Okay, so the disclaimers help to a certain degree, but if you see the way many of them are written, they say, please be moichel if your name is left out. Now, please be moichel if is not exact. Imagine I'd write a contract with you to sell me your house and say, please leave all the furniture in the house. I don't think that's a binding agreement. If you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So the disclaimers, unless they're written in a very strong, unfriendly kind of a language, which most people don't want to write, it's not so posh that you buy it al das kain that it could happen. But we have a different solution. So now, the way we're setting up the problem, it sounds like you'd have to do a lot of redraws. Every time another book comes in, or a ticket comes in, or a complaint comes in, you're going to have to tell the winner he lost, and you're going to have to redraw the raffle. And you can imagine it's going to be a big flop, and everybody's going to be very frustrated. So how do we deal with that? So Rav explained to me, which is, without even writing on the ticket, there's an umdana that people understand that when you buy something with a lot of amateur sellers and the whole operation is not being done in a way that you've got a contract and so forth, it's being done in an amateur way, there's an umdana that you accept that your ticket may be left out of the raffle. And befrat, when there are children selling, because children, as gewaldic as they are, they're not necessarily that responsible to do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. Someone once said, it's like when you see a dummy thrown out on the road, let's say on Leicester Road, you see a dummy, you have a hashavas of Ada on it. So once a Rav told me you don't, because anybody who gives a dummy to a child in a buggy knows that it's 50-50 whether they'll come home with it. It's an aveda midas. The child could just as well put it in their mouth as decide to see if it flies like a kite. So giving money to children to deliver your ticket in the right place and to get the money in the right place, you know, there's an umdana, you know, that it may not happen. And you also know that other sellers and other people buying from these children, it may not happen kahoygan. So the chiddush that comes out from, understood from the svari is that when we say it has to be kahoygan, we mean kahoygan al pi our agreement. That means it doesn't have to be 100% fair. I mean, it has to be fair lefi what we assume to be fair. Once it's according to that, that's enough. And I'll tell you a very interesting example of this. Someone told me there was a certain moysid which had a big shaila. They went to a chashev rav to do a girl based on a sefer, the Noam Eli Melech. And there's some way to do a girl. I don't know myself exactly how it works. But they asked whatever the question was. The Rav flipped around in the pages. And depending on what came up at the top line of the sefer, that was going to be a direction what to do. So I heard that the way it worked was until Yud, the answer is yes. The first letter would be Yud, yes. If it's after Yud, so then it would be no. That would be. Now, if anybody does the maths, you'll see there's something a bit funny going on over here. It's not even. Until Yud is 10 letters, after Yud is more than 10 letters, it's not Kahoygan. Make it 50-50. So I bumped into this Talmud Chacham, to this Rav, and he said to me, he realizes, but that's not the point. The point is, as long as you make it in a way that, he said, it could have been done in a different way as well. There was no magic about Yud and after Yud. So it doesn't seem Kahoygan has to be everything 100% totally equal, as long as that's the agreed way of doing it. Now, I wondered, I didn't ask him, what would be if you said, if it's Aleph, it's yes, and it's all the other letters, it's no. Would we go with that extreme that we could say it doesn't matter? Or it should be somewhere within the realm of what people would say a fair chance. Now, what if a person says, I never agreed to this. I didn't agree to have my ticket left out. I paid my £5, and I didn't want to be left out. So we say this umdana overrides what his opinion. He bought al das kain, and it's his tough luck. But there's one exception, which someone was calling out before. What happens if it's an expensive ticket? So one of the rabbanim I spoke to said, I said, what's called an expensive ticket? So he said, if the prize is £18,000, and I think he said if the ticket is over £10, that's clear enough, that's a big enough donation for a big enough prize that you can no longer assume that there was this umdana that I'm left out, I'm happy. Because part of their motivation becomes, I don't want to be left out, I want to win. So now, what do you do then? Do you do a redraw? You still don't do a redraw, because again, we don't expect people to demand that. But he tainted, this Rav said, you have to give him his money back. Because that was a chelik of his motivation. It's not an umdana that he means to give up all his money. Or, alternatively, you could put him in the next year's raffle if he's satisfied with that. But he can't just be ignored. So that's probably the biggest problem. I'll tell you an unusual kind of a raffle which has a related problem. That's scratch cards. Sometimes these moistures come out with scratch cards with, say 200 prizes, 5,000 cards. You buy it for £1. It's a cheap ticket. So we have the umdana that you principally want to make the donation. But the people with the prizes presumably keep track of what's going on. So someone once said to me, this is Kachaya, that after they were planning to sell them for 3 months. After 2 months, they realized all of the prizes had been won. And they still had, let's say, 1,500 tickets to sell. And that was a big chelik of the profit margin, right? The first bit you're paying back for the prizes, and the last bit you're really cashing in on the profits. So the shaila was, can we keep selling these tickets or not? So, l'chora, even if you can assume that people want to give donations to your moysid, and they'd like to give you £1, but l'chora, it's a shaila of genevis das. If you give us £1, you have a chance to win a prize, and there is no chance of winning a prize, so l'chora, it's a shaila, a very serious shaila of genevis das, and not so poshut to keep selling at all. Having said that, I'm not sure that the organizers are mechuyev to keep checking the inventory. Do you have to have a daily update? How many prizes are left? I don't know. Maybe you could check once every 2 weeks, once a week. You don't have to, and the second the prizes are gone, you have to call a whistle, call up all of your sellers and say, stop, tell them stop selling. Chur, that may be going too far. Another very relevant shaila to most of us, I think, is the question is asked, can you write on the tickets or on the ads, you're allowed to use your Meiser money to buy these tickets? Now you'd say, well, why not? It's my Meiser money. I have Tovus and all. I can give it to who I like, give it to this Moser, that Moser. So the shaila is as follows. Meiser money is not really yours to profit with. Imagine you're a chacham and you decide, I know what I'll do with my Meiser. I'm going to buy properties, and I'll have a certain amount of profit myself, and then the capital I'll return to Meiser. Right? The Meiser doesn't lose out, and I profit. So it seems that would clearly, from what I understand, that would not be allowed. And Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva, in Or HaChaim Dalet, Siman Ayin Vav, says a chiluk. He says, if you have a massive raffle, so that the tickets have no specific value, because there's an endless number of tickets being sold, so that's not called you had a personal profit from it, because there's no market value to this ticket. But if you'd have a limited raffle, and the tickets have a specific value to them, so then to use your Meiser money for that, you're basically buying something with Meiser that has a specific value for your own personal benefit, and he doesn't like that. Agav, in the same tshuva, he mentions two other things which are just worth saying. One is that if you win, you should at least give back the value of the ticket to the Meiser, because I think for the same reasoning, that otherwise you had a certain profit, you're getting all the money back, including the value of the ticket, so what exactly did you give with your Meiser money? So I think, understand, sorry? So that's what he says, that's his last point, is that the Meiser from you, I don't know if this is what you meant, the Meiser from the winnings or all of the, so I'll come to that in 1 second, I'll tell you why I'm very scared to say what you're saying. But at least he says the Meiser from it, it's preferable to give. If you win £1,000, £100 should go preferably to that Meiser. It doesn't say it's a chiyuv gomor. There were some poskim who were quoted, and I'm very, very reluctant to say this, because what you're saying has a big tight saw. If you're going to say I saw on a sefer that someone asked Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, can you use Meiser money? And this is again a shemua. This was not a printed tshuva, so we have to be very careful with it. In fact, I was almost not going to say it, but seeing how you've raised the point, they say you can't use Meiser money because it's not yours to do this with. It's not you're gaining from Meiser money. So now imagine you win. So like your timing, if you win, who just won? According to these poskim, you could say it's not your money that won; it's Meiser's money that won. So all of it should belong to Meiser. Now, the reason. We see, first of all, that does not seem to be the hanhaga in the world. And the second reason why I definitely didn't want to belabor this point or to say that this is a shaila for a rav, if you're concerned about it, is because imagine you're going to stop people from giving as much tzedakah. Because there is Rav Moshe to rely on, for sure. He is not taking on, you have to give the money to Meiser. And to tell anybody, you know, it's not your money, you're not going to win. Think of all of the Moshes that will lose out from taking a hard line with this particular point. So that's why I think that nobody should be machmir without checking with a rav first, because mehechetesi, somebody should be machmir on the Moshe's expense, on tzedakah's expense. Yeah, so that's this question. Just because somebody decides to print that on, who says the halacha is like them? According to Rav Moshe, the pashtus they have Rav Moshe to be somechan, as long as there's an unlimited number of tickets. If they'll keep printing tickets, as many as people will buy, than they do have Rav Moshe, and that's a statement that makes a lot of sense. If you would be choshish for the other opinions, so then I'm not sure how simple it is. You could maybe write, ask a shaila or something like that. I don't know what you can write on a ticket realistically. It's a bit funny to start posketing shailas on raffle tickets, but I'm just saying there's what to think about. The hanhaga in the world is to be mekel. At least all the tickets that are being sold and the way people deal with it. I want to tell you another a very interesting question that I came across, which I think I thought was obvious, and then I heard a daya from one of the Rabbanim, Rav in London, who thought not like this, but Rav Moshe Sternbach asks a very simple question. He says, Who says that because someone puts on a raffle that we change the priorities in tzedakah giving? We all know there's a Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch has a seder, has a defis in who gets tzedakah first, a niyim or a niyim of your town, family members. Now, usually, a niyim don't all get together and print raffle tickets and start selling them around town with a big prize. The big prize is, you know, like a sandwich that they have. Nobody's really interested. People like silver bechers. People like trips to Eretz Yisrael. The Niyim don't have typically the wherewithal to offer this. Now, they're number one, let's say, or certainly near the top, Kroivim, right near the top of the pecking order of giving tzedakah. And yet, who gets it? Let's say, imagine there would be a Jewish Save the Whales movement. And they would come up with the most beautiful, glossy tickets and the most exotic prize, a free trip to watch the whales. And it was just unbelievable. So now the tickets are £100 a piece. And you get to hug a whale as well, and the kids will love it, and you'll love it, and everything will be... So now you start thinking, wow, that sounds so beautiful. You know, I'm going to buy 10 tickets. Meanwhile, the Aniyim are knocking on the door. Say, tell them I'm busy right now. I'm just, you know, writing out a checkbook. I'll get back to them. And, you know, the whales are clapping their flippers together. So what's going on here? The Shulchan Aruch has an opinion about this. It says, given a certain priority. So Rav Shtermach says, it can't be. He says, it can't be. He said, the maximum a person should give to raffles, if they're not really your priority in tzedakah, is 20%. Now, that's his sock, but I'm just saying it's a point worth considering. Just because somebody puts on the most beautiful raffle doesn't... 20% of your tzedakah giving, or your meiser money, or whatever it is you designate for tzedakah, or meiser, he says 20% should be the limit. But he's just saying that by way of an estimation, just to give us the point, I think, that just because you stand to gain, that doesn't make it a top priority in tzedakah. And that's really a point worth probably emphasizing, is they say most people give to who they know rather than to the best cause. And on the one hand, you could say, well, okay, fine, why not? Why can't I make a kesher with other people and support their cause? And they say, my cause is... The problem is there is a certain overlooking of what the Shulchan Aruch has to say about it. Really, people should get clear first and foremost what are their obligations to give to, and then if they feel a personal obligation to a friend or to a moysid or whatever it is, so then by all means give to them as well. But that can't be that our emotions are guiding our decisions on how to give tzedakah, and I think that's his point. Okay, another very common shaila is people ask, I was told to sell 20 pound tickets. So I go around collecting, and a lot of people say to me, here's £2, here's another pound. And I slowly realize I've just accumulated £20 in cash. So I want to know, can I put my name on the ticket? Nobody else has asked for their name to be on. In fact, I was once selling tickets not so long ago for Moisad. Someone threw £20 on the table, says, well, don't you want a ticket? He said, do whatever you want with it. Means it's for the Moisad. You with the ticket, do whatever you want. So now, should I put my name on the ticket? So I would have thought, possibly not at all. Because when you took the first pound, and the second pound, and the third pound, you made a kinyan for tzedakah. You didn't make a kinyan for yourself. So it's not your money. It's not for you to decide. The school, the moitzah, the shul, has already been koinit. For me to come along and say, and my name goes on because I'm the seller, where do you fit into this? But I must say, but a Rav said to me, quite clearly not like this, his opinion was that you could, because it's understood that if, as a seller, they want to give you maximum incentive. So to give you maximum incentive, you'll sell more if you know you can put your name on the ticket. Right? Because if I get enough people to give me £2 and £3 and £5, it adds up to £20, so I'll get a ticket. Some other people I spoke to were not Rabbanim, but they said, you can say what you like, but it looks very bad for the Moisid if the Moisid wins or if the organizers win. It looks rigged. Even though it's not, even though their name, someone in a shul recently, in a shul raffle, wrote the shul's name on, and then they had big bulletin boards up saying who the winners were of this prize, and it had the shul's name, and people said, it looked ridiculous. We won our own raffle, you know, how did that happen? But the answer is, it was honest, it was fair. People do know it. So this fellow was only tiny mitzad hergish that it gives a bad taste. People would like to think that a person won, especially someone like them could win. If you just see, like, every time the Gevir wins or the Moisad wins, then people feel excluded. Yeah, some people are. But once it's in... for the Moysid. I agree with you. Definitely are people like that, but I wouldn't like to lump everybody together and say, if you pay an 18-pound ticket, that you just mean, I want to see if I can win. A lot of people would like to take home £10,000 as well. You know, they've got a mortgage to pay and who knows what else. So. Yes, I don't think that there's a shiloh with that, because they're allowed to spend on advertising, they're allowed to spend on promotion, they're allowed to buy the prize. Okay, but I think that, again, that's understood. Someone in the Poskim actually said that people have an umdana, that they're most of the money to the Moysid for the Moysid's sake, even if a goy wins. And if you ask most people, are you happy that the goy won the raffle? Say, no, I was trying to give money either to the Moysid or to someone in the Kehillah. But to him, like, where does he fit into all of this? But if a goy would buy a ticket, however he buys a ticket, so you say it's the same thing. Once you accept that the winner is the winner, so then you have Gemiras Das, and you can't come back with Tainas, I never gave the money, Al Das Kane. Now, I've got a few minutes left.
Just a few minutes left.
So, two other very big questions, which I thought is, who says this is b'chlal called Hishtadlis, buying a ticket in a big raffle? Maybe in a small raffle, it's different, but let's say in a very big raffle, who says this is a shtadlis? Imagine someone come to you and say, I'm having trouble with Parnassa, so I've come up with a solution. So, oh, right, good, let's see what it is. He says, I've got a shop, it's open 9 to 5, 5 days a week, so what I'm going to do to solve my shortfall is I'm going to leave my shop open 1 minute longer every 6 months. You say, and? No, that's it. That is my additional shtadlis, 1 minute every 6 months. So I think we'd say to him, it is a hishtadlis, but I don't think that's going to make a major difference up what hishtadlis does. Now, a raffle is pretty similar to this. You've got a 1 in 10,000 chance of winning. That's your 1 minute in the 6 month. This is going to make a difference. And people say, yeah, it's different because you keep your shop open, so someone will buy one more hat, one more loaf of bread for you. Here, you could win, you know, £10,000. So I said, imagine I have a private beach, and I'd invite you to walk with me up and down the beach, and I say, okay, you've seen the beach, it's nice. Somewhere on this beach is a diamond. It's a very, very big diamond. You give me £2, you can take your hand, reach in the sand, and pull out one handful of sand, and if you get the diamond, you win. I don't think I'd get too many customers. After you've walked up and down the beach with me for 10 minutes in both directions, say, forget it, it's not going to happen. And yet, people like the fantasy of these raffles plays on us that maybe we'll win and so forth. Practically speaking, it's a very, very weak hishtadlis. The second question is, if our panasa was already nigzar. Okay, so I say in the beach case, and I will keep doing this until somebody wins. Okay, it's a mashal. Okay. Okay. All right. You don't have to take the mashal. The mashal was more for humorous purposes. I think it brings out the point. The other shaila is, if our parnasa was already nigzar on Rosh Hashanah, so then how can this make a difference? I've already got my parnasa for the year. Yep. So in the 1 minute I have left, one Rav I spoke said, it's a hishtadlis that covers a nes. That means maybe it was nigzar for you to win or to have a large sum of money this year. But it has to be, if you're just selling, you're selling bananas, you're never going to have an obvious way that you'd be getting £10,000 quickly, unless there's some great deal on bananas. But basically, this is a way to cover the nes, it's that kind of a hishtadlis. So then, if you say that, then there's apparently a well-known quote that if you try to buy two tickets in a raffle, it's a shail of kafira. Why? Because if you bought one to cover the nace, what's the second one for? Yeah? So the other thing is, another kash you could ask, if that's why you're buying it, if it was nigzer on Rosh Hashanah, and you're saying, well, I'm buying it to cover the nace, so why would you buy more than one ticket per year? From Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, you have nigzar this amount of money. You've given the hechatimsa to cover the nes. Maybe you should buy the last day of the year, just in case until now you weren't zeichet to have all the merits you needed for the year. Buy the last day of the year, and you could cover the nes in that way. Okay. So I had to buy two. So let me just finish, if I could, b'mechila. One is some answer that is toilan mazel. It's not a regular shtadlis. And there was once a sandik who bought on the day that he was a sandik because that was the day of great mazel. The Talmud Chacham did this. also we could say in smaller raffles where the chances are much better, which I do a small raffle for Avreichem in Limud HaMusar, and I see the ones who put in more entries do win more, because if it's 10 or 15 people, anybody who wants to support is welcome to, that we see the ones who put in more tickets into a small raffle do win. Two last points. One, Rav said the best hishtadlus possible is not to be crooked. If you want hishtadlus to get good parnasa. And the last thing is, I'm going to ask everybody a favor if I could. Today I'm having a minor procedure. If people could say today, a slow brocha is a schus for me, that would be gewaldik. And we zeichet to be a skoyol b'mher v'yameinu.
Amen.